This morning, as we begin our study of God's Word together, I want you to turn over to Exodus chapter 34, and you might put a bookmark there in Exodus 34, and then turn over to the New Testament to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 23 and 24 as a way of introduction to our lesson this morning. Again, mark Exodus chapter 34. We'll be headed in that direction in just a few minutes. And then turn over to John 4, verse 23 and 24. Jesus said, beginning in verse 23 of John chapter 4, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Of all of the responsibilities that accompany the grace of God, worshiping God in spirit and in truth can be one of the more challenging endeavors. Now, I know there's a sense where we don't like to admit that. Naturally, we don't like to admit, you know, there are times where I am challenged to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that unwillingness can be our downfall. If we're honest, we're going to admit that there are times where we struggle when it comes to worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Because it takes a lot of concentration on our part to truly worship God in spirit and in truth. Just because your body is in the pew doesn't mean that you're here. You see, you can be here physically speaking, but spiritually you can be absent. As I said, it takes a lot on our part. It takes mental discipline, mental concentration to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, if you would, go to Exodus chapter 34. As we turn our attention to Exodus chapter 34, here in Exodus chapter 34, we see the beauty of worship. And as we look at these first 10 verses together this morning, you're going to see that these 10 verses can help us better prepare ourselves to worship God. These verses can be summed up in three words. Here in verses 1 through 10, again, these verses can be summed up in these three words. In verses 2 through 4, we see the word preparation. Preparation. In 5 through 7, we see the word presence. And then in verses 8 through 10, we see the word praise. Now, as we go through these first 10 verses, we're going to begin to develop these points. As we look at the first 4 verses, we see the concept of preparation. And notice how this context begins in verse number 1 of Exodus chapter 34. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee 2 tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks, nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto the Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took his hand the two tables of stone. As we look at these first few verses a little closer, we see that God exhorts Moses to be ready. Moses, I want you to be ready, notice, in the morning. That particular Hebrew word, to be ready, is a very interesting word. It's a military term that means, Moses, I want you to stand perpendicular and I want you to stand in attention. I don't want you to be relaxed, but I want you to present yourself to me in the morning. I want you again to stand perpendicular. And so as you look at verse 4, we see that Moses rose early in the morning with great anticipation to present himself before the great I Am. It's the same attitude that we see in Psalm 122, verse 1, where the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I believe this is something that all of us can do to help prepare ourselves to stand before God and worship God. We can get up early in the morning. Now, I know that's probably hard for some of us to do. It's hard at times to rise up early in the morning, but I believe it's interesting that that is exactly what God told Moses. Moses, I want you to be ready in the morning. And one of the things that we can do to better prepare ourselves to worship God is to be ready. To be ready to rise early in the morning to prepare ourselves to worship God. A lot of times what happens is we might stay up real late, and when we stay up late, we get up late, and it seems like it's hard to get ready to worship God. I'm not trying to tell you what time to go to bed, but what I am saying, as we think about worshiping God, this should be the highlight of our week. Amen. This is should be something that we are preparing ourselves for. And we need to be mentally ready. That means we need to get plenty of rest, because we want to come before God like Moses did, and we want to stand perpendicular, that is, in our minds. We want to be mentally ready to worship God because of who we're worshiping. In Psalm 89, verse 7, it says, God is greatly to be feared and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. You know, when it comes to worship, we shouldn't be relaxed, mentally speaking. We should be ready. We should be ready to engage our minds. We should respect who God is, because what we're doing this morning is a holy thing. We're approaching a holy God. It reminds me of what God told Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Moses, I want you to take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. There's a sense this morning we are on holy ground. We are approaching our great God. And so one of the things that we see from Exodus chapter 34 that can help us better worship our God is that we can prepare ourselves to worship God. Notice a second thing that Moses does here in the first four verses. First of all, he rose up early in the morning with great anticipation, something that he was wanting and longing to do. Secondly, let me suggest this second point. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai, the second time. You'll notice that distinction. God talks about the first time. But the second time Moses comes to Mount Sinai, he shelled his feelings. And let me talk to you a little bit about what I mean by that. He shelled his feelings. The first time Moses went to Mount Sinai is recorded in Exodus chapter 19, verse number 16. And remember the first time Moses went up, when the people heard the thunderings and saw the lightnings and the voice of the trumpet, it says that the people trembled. And in Exodus chapter 19, it doesn't really say how Moses felt. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 21, we see how Moses felt the first time he went to Mount Sinai. Again, that's not recorded in Exodus chapter 19, but it's recorded here in Hebrews 12, verse 21. And listen to what the writer of Hebrews says here in Hebrews 12, verse 21. Again, it's talking about how Moses felt the first time he went to Mount Sinai. You remember when he broke the stones? He says in verse 21, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." The New King James says, I am exceedingly afraid and I'm trembling. That's the way Moses felt on the inside. On the inside, he was afraid. On the outside, Moses was trembling. It's as if he said, "Boys, I'm afraid on the inside and I'm trembling in my boots." Again, that's the way Moses felt the first time he went to Mount Sinai. But here in Exodus chapter 34, the text doesn't say, and there's not any other passage that we find in God's Word that says anything about how Moses felt the second time he went to Mount Sinai. It's as if Moses shelled his feelings and he went and presented himself before God Almighty. Let me suggest, to better prepare ourselves to worship God, this may sound a little different, but hear me out on this thought. We must leave our personal feelings at home. I'm not saying that we should come and be emotionally detached when we worship God. But when we come and worship God, we need to leave our personal feelings, our own preferences at home. If we don't, we will find ourselves sifting everything through our personal likes and dislikes. And friends, this isn't about me. When we come to worship God, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about praising and worshiping our God. In 1 Peter 2, verse 5, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing and acceptable to God. We come to worship God. We come to offer Him praise. And we invest ourselves into the feelings of God. You see, God is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's what we need to do when we come and worship our God. We need to invest ourselves in the feelings of God and worship God in spirit and in truth and make a joyful noise. We are to be emotionally attached to what we're doing when we praise and worship God. But we shouldn't alter how we worship God, because it's all about worshiping God in the way that He says to worship Him, with the right attitude. And also, as you go back to verse number 4, you see a third thing that Moses did that can help us prepare ourselves to worship God. Notice as Moses makes his way to Mount Sinai in verse 4, the second time, notice what he comes with. He comes with two tables of stone. You see the practicality, don't you? To better prepare ourselves to worship God, we need to come with our Bibles. We need to come with pen and paper. And I realize that we have Bibles in the pews, and I realize that a lot of us use our phones. The point is we need to come prepared. A lot of times we will hear verses, and you might, in your own mind, I like that verse. You need to have something to jot that verse down on. Or I would encourage you to have a Bible that you can mark up, that you can highlight, that you can draw lines from one verse to another verse. Have a Bible. Have something with you where you can take notes, where you can really learn what God's Word is teaching. Like the Bereans. In Acts 17 verse 11, they came before God with a ready mind, and notice, they searched the Scriptures. The idea is that they were looking back and forth at the Scriptures, at what was being said. Let me encourage you to search the Scriptures. As I'm preaching or as somebody else is teaching, again, we need to set the example for visitors. We need to open our Bibles. We need to follow along. We need to search the Scriptures. The second major point that we see in verses 5 through 7 that can help us better be prepared to worship God, in verses 5 through 7 we see the word presence, God's presence. Notice again verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and the Lord proclaimed his name before Moses. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. God descends down in the cloud, and Moses is now in the very presence of God. And God began to speak. And God in these verses began to proclaim his name before Moses. You'll notice with me in verse number 6, the Lord passed by before Moses, and notice this, and proclaimed the Lord. In Hebrew, this is Jehovah. You'll notice that the word Lord is in all caps, which is the covenant name for God, which is translated in Exodus chapter 3, I am that I am, which suggests His eternal nature. You cannot read Lord in all caps without being reminded of God's eternal nature. In Psalm 90 verse 2, the psalmist says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That is how God presented himself to Moses. He presented himself as the Eternal One, the Great I Am. You continue to read in verse number 6. We see the Lord then presents Himself to Moses and says, the Lord God. The first time we read those words is in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 4, when it says, the Lord God created this world, which implies His greatness. This shows how great God is. And so as Moses presents himself before God, the Lord proclaims His name as the Eternal One, as the Almighty One, the One who created heaven and earth, the One who has always existed, the One who created, who spoke this world into existence. And we see Moses is going to stand in awe of who God is. But as you continue to read verse number 6, the goodness of God is set before Moses in conjunction with His greatness. Listen to what it is said there at the end of verse 6. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and in truth. These are attributes, characteristics of who God is. God is merciful. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. God is gracious. God is gracious. He is kind to each one of us. He's long-suffering. He's abundant in goodness and in truth. Again, this is how God presents Himself to Moses. When you blend the goodness of God with the greatness of God, you see that God is so good because He is so great. Verse number 7, notice what the Lord continues to reveal to Moses on Mount Sinai, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. The Lord tells Moses that He forgives. The Lord overlooks. That's how great and good God is. That is the God that we worship. I believe it's interesting as you look at verse number 7, there are three words in this verse that are used to describe sin. God mentions the word iniquity, which describes gross wickedness. He mentions the word transgression, which means breaking God's law. And then He mentions the word sin in verse 7, which means to miss the mark, to deviate from God's path. And those words describe us. All of us have sinned. All of us have done things contrary to God's will. We have broken God's law. But God is merciful and God is kind. And we understand because of the Scriptures that there is forgiveness with God. God wants to forgive us. God gives us the opportunity to be right with Him. Even though we have done some awful things, even though we are described as filthy rags, our sins can be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. When we meet God's terms of pardon, God has promised us in Hebrews 8, verse number 13, I will forgive their sins. God will heal us spiritually speaking. And so this is the picture that we see here in Exodus chapter 34. Moses rises up early in the morning. He is standing perpendicular, presenting himself before God. And as he presents himself before God, God descends in a cloud and he presents himself before Moses. And Moses is presented with the goodness of God, with the greatness of God, and number 3, with the graciousness of God. Think about those three words, because those three words, the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, those three words can help us worship our God. As you continue to read verses 8 through 10, we come to the third word. And the third word is the word praise. The word praise. Look at verse number 8. And Moses made haste, underline that, and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. I like Moses' response here in verse number 8. I hope you see the picture. Again, here is Moses standing like a soldier, standing perpendicular as he presents himself before God Almighty. And as he is there presenting himself before God Almighty, God proclaims His name to Moses. He proclaims His goodness. He proclaims His greatness and His graciousness. And Moses, who was standing perpendicular as a soldier, is now, verse 8, bowing down before the great I Am. Let me suggest again, to better prepare ourselves to worship God, I'm not suggesting that we bow down like Moses. Because when we turn to the New Testament doesn't really say anything about our physical posture and how we present ourselves to God. But when we see the physical posture of Moses, who is now bowing down on his knees, It reminds us that when we come and when we worship our God, we need to do it wholeheartedly. We need to do it with sincerity. That's what you see in Moses in verse number 8. You see his sincerity. You see his genuineness. He sees who God is. And when we recognize how good and how great and how gracious God is, it should motivate us to want to come and to offer up spiritual sacrifices, to sing and to pray and to obey God from our hearts. You see, friends, that's what we need to do, like Moses. I know Moses bowed down and got on his knees and worshiped God, and we can do the same by humbling ourselves before our great God, because He is a great and awesome God. And when we stop and contemplate who God is, our response should be to praise Him, to stand in awe of Him. And that's what it says in verse 9. And He said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee." Notice Lord, small cap, Adonai. The Hebrew word is Adonai, Master. You see, that's how Moses responded to the goodness and the greatness and the graciousness of God. Master, Adonai. And bowed down and worshiped the great I Am. And God then in verse 10 pledges His covenant with God. One of the greatest privileges that you and I have as the children of God is to be able to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And this is something that we shouldn't approach haphazardly. This is something that we should be prepared for. This is something that we should be thinking about all week. And what a privilege it is to be here in the very presence of God, to worship our God. I know you're here this morning, physically speaking. You're sitting here in the pew. I realize that. But are you here spiritually speaking? That's the question that all of us need to ask this morning. Are we here spiritually speaking? And are we truly pouring out our hearts to God? You see, the things are written aforetime. They were written for our learning. We can look at contexts like Exodus chapter 34 and we see the beauty of worship. And what a great opportunity it is to be here this morning to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And when we do that, John 4, 23 and 24 teaches us that God is seeking that kind of worship. That kind of worship is like a sweet smell that comes up before God Almighty. The lesson is yours. It might be that you've never obeyed the gospel. We want to encourage you to do that this morning. We want to encourage you to become a Christian and to be in a position, a location in the body of Christ where you can offer up homage, where you can offer up your praise and adoration to God who is so good, who is so great, and who is so gracious. If you are a child of God and if you wandered away from the Lord, we hope this morning you'll come back. We hope you will recognize how great and how good and how gracious God is. That you will come to your spiritual senses, that you will repent of your sins and be restored to your first love. Or it might be that you just need the prayers of the church. It might be that you need encouragement and strength. Again, we're here for you. We're here for one another to help each other press toward that mark. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.